Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. I'm your host, Andrew Rich, joined today by a returning guest. He is a contributor at Voices of Wrestling and one of the hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy podcast. It's Fred Moreland. Hello again, Fred.
Hello, Andrew. Thank you for having me on again.
Yeah, glad you're here, definitely. Last time you were on was just over a year ago. And now we're in March of 2026. It's crazy. It's already March. It feels like yesterday that it was just the new year. And we're almost a quarter of the way through the year already, Fred. It's wild.
Yeah, it's just flying by. I promised myself at the start of the year I would be trying to keep up more with current music, and I have absolutely failed at doing that. That's okay.
I've been there, man. I've been there. Don't worry about it. But yeah, you know, I'm just looking forward to the warmer weather coming up because it was like mid-70s here yesterday, but it's going to go back down to the 40s and just stay there for a little while longer. And that's always the way, you know, there's always a false spring to get your hopes up, Fred.
Yeah, we're in the middle of that right now in Kentucky, and we're going to have snow, I think, next week if the weather bears out. So,
Yeah, it's kind of like New Japan booking. You know, just when you think we're back.
We're so back.
We've never been more back in our lives. All of a sudden, it's over again. You know, just swings and roundabouts, as they say, Fred, you know.
Indeed. Fortunately, I think we'll eventually stabilize a little more than the trajectory, I should say, of Aaron Wolf's career.
Yeah, some rough waters for the Cerulean Blue lately, unfortunately. But today's topic, Fred, is something I call the 10 count. Of course, in wrestling, there's the 10 count. If you're outside the ring and the ref counts to 10 and you're not back in, you get counted out. Or if you're knocked down in the ring and the ref counts to 10 and you don't get back up, you lose the match. I actually picked it for timely reasons because we're recording this a few days before AEW Revolution, and the main event of that show is going to be a Texas Death Match. And one of the ways to win a Texas Death Match is by 10 count KO. And the 10 count, it's meant to add another layer of suspense and drama to a match. Can a guy actually get back up? Can he get back in the ring? Or is he going to lose? We see it in boxing as well all the time. But I feel like we don't really see countouts happen all that much nowadays, at least in the promotions that I watch. They seem very rarely done. Everybody seems to get back in the ring at 9, whereas back in the day, they seemed much more common. I mean, if you go back and look up old WWF pay-per-view results from the 80s and 90s, there's at least one countout in every show, it seems like, Fred.
Yeah, it's funny how it went from, like, this is how we're going to avoid actually having someone take a meaningful loss to we aren't ever going to do it and instead just going to have 18 run-ins to, you know, muddy the waters and make a knockout that way. I think if you, it's ground that you could definitely book with and do something interesting with if anyone was inclined to do so, but I just kind of think no one is.
Yeah, I mean, you know, nobody really likes a countout, especially us dorky wrestling fans. We want great matches and we want definitive endings via pin or submission. And a countout can feel like a letdown or a cheap way out or a guy not wanting to, you know, take a fall and do an actual job. But like anything else, you know, in the right circumstances, in the right story, it can work as a finish. Same with the knockout. You know, last year there was that Gabe Kidd Yota Tsuji match that ended with a double KO where both guys couldn't answer the 10 count. And it was cool as hell because they beat the crap out of each other so badly that neither of them could get back up. It was a very memorable finish that worked for the story of the match. Same with the Goto Shibata matches from 2013 that also ended in double KOs. So again, it can work, just like anything else. You know, the context is important, and also just don't overdo it, Fred.
Yeah. Yeah, use it sparingly and use it smartly, and it could actually be a useful tool. Unfortunately, no one does that.
Now, as far as the music goes, I came up with a fun little concept here. We have 10 songs each, and each song has a number in the title going up from 1 to 10. So the first picks that we play will have the number 1 in the title, then the next one will have number 2, then number 3, and so on until the last picks, which will have the number 10 in them. So it's very straightforward, very simple there. And it's going to be a fun musical journey, but also a nice educational reminder about how numbers work, Fred.
Yes, counting is important.
Yes, yes. And just to clarify, the numbers have to be by themselves. They can't be part of larger numbers. So you can't have a song with 21 in the title, or 500. It has to be 1 through 10 on their own. We do have some picks where there are multiple numbers in the title, but the numbers 1 through 10 are by themselves. I actually have another idea for an episode called The 20 Count, where it's me and a guest. One of us takes odd numbers, the other takes even numbers, and we go up to 20. But that's for another day, Fred.
Sounds good.
All right, Fred, you are the guest. You'll go first. What is your number one pick?
My first pick is by Ben Folds 5, just considered cheating with the band name there. But One Angry Dwarf and 200 Solemn Faces, that was the first track off of their excellent 1997 album, Whatever and Ever, Amen. That was maybe my first favorite band, and I think that album is fantastic and has a bunch of great songs on it right from the start with that. And it's best known for, I think, the song Brick, which was their big breakthrough hit, and was on top of the charts in the U.S. for quite a while. Or towards the top, I should say. It wasn't like a number one hit. But yeah, I just adore that album still, and it's a great way to kick it off.
Yeah, that's the ultimate anthem for angry short guys.
Yes.
The bagel boss guy must blast this song every morning because it's quite raucous, and appropriately so. You know, when you're telling your school chums who made fun of you for being short and stole your lunch money and said that they would rather die than kiss you to fuck off, you want to bring the ruckus with all this energy and the frantic piano playing. You'll be sorry one day. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. Because I'm going to be a big star. And, you know, I wouldn't call Ben Folds a major celebrity. But he's had a long, successful career. So, yeah, the angry dwarf went out in the end, Fred.
Yeah, except for on the marriage area. But, hey, you know, five times is still five, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the same album, by the way, with the song Song for the Dumped, which yes. is about him telling off an ex-girlfriend. And the refrain of that song is, "Give me my money back, you bitch." So Ben Folds dealing with a lot of pent-up anger back then, it seems.
Yeah, not the entire tone of the album, to be clear, but he did do two songs on that one, which, you know, it's weird it happened twice, but...
Well, my number one song, this is the premier kawaii metal band. It's, of course, Baby Metal from their 2016 album Metal Resistance. This is The One.
Please let me know if you know this is the end of the world. Let me know if you know the truth. Looking for our home, looking for our dream. We gotta find a way to change that. This is our song. This is our dream. Please take us through the land of dreams. Yeah. We are the one together. We're the only one. You are the one forever. You're the only one. We are the one together. We're the only one.
So that's the English version of the song, which is on the international version of the album. There's the original version with the Japanese lyrics in there mixed in with the English too. And I'm not a huge baby metal fan. I haven't listened to all their stuff, but I do love this song. It's so epic and emotional. The mix of the soft piano verses and the big crunchy metal choruses and talking about truth and dreams, the end of the world. We are the one. Together, we're the only one. Has a lot of heroic, big anime battle vibes. And the whole concept of the band, you know, it's very much a gimmick. Blending Japanese idols and metal is so outlandish of a concept, it's hard not to call it a gimmick. But it's still great. You know, good metal is good metal, no matter how you slice it, Fred.
Yeah, I think, I mean, honestly, if I were to make a wrestling comparison, it'd be Maki Ito, but if good. They, you know, it is a shtick that they have, but I mean, they're good at it too. So I've only dabbled in them as well, but what I have heard is actually pretty good. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'd definitely be interested in seeing them live one day just because it looks so bonkers with the backup dancers and the choreography and all that. I mean, when they started out and coming on the scene there, you know, they opened for like Lady Gaga and Red Hot Chili Peppers in America and the UK. And I can only imagine what those fans are thinking when they saw them come out. Because if you haven't seen it before in any context, it's going to knock you for a loop, I think, Fred.
Yeah, that would be a hell of a way to be introduced to them. Just like dropped right in, you know, like that.
Mm-hmm, for sure, for sure. All right, Fred, what's your number two song here?
My second song is, of course, for the number two. And it is 2 Weeks by Grizzly Bear. It's an indie band that kind of came to prominence in the late aughts from New York, and they just have some great harmonies, and I've really enjoyed digging into their stuff the past couple of years as I've grown to listen to it more and more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did not recognize the name of the song or the band, but as soon as I heard it, I was like, okay, I've definitely heard this somewhere, a car commercial or something, and sure enough, it was in a Volkswagen commercial. Which is an odd pick because apparently it's about the slow disintegration of a relationship. Save up all the days, a routine malaise, just like yesterday I told you I would stay. So topic-wise, it's depressing, but musically it's so 2000s indie rock, that upbeat sound with the plinky piano and the background harmonies. Car commercial it is, I guess, Fred.
Yeah, I mean, and there was a short period where that was kind of the high watermark for indie rock, was to get a car commercial. And that was how you would make your money. And this was right in the middle of that. Just a very weird short period of time in the history of the music industry.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of relationships going sour, Grizzly Bear also did the music for the movie Blue Valentine with Ryan Gosling and Michelle Williams. And oh boy, if you want to watch a real depressing movie about a marriage breaking apart, watch that one. So yeah, it's a good fit, Fred.
Yeah. Yeah, fits right in.
All right, so my number two song, we're going to go back to the 80s here, 1984, for Frankie Goes to Hollywood off their debut album, Welcome to the Pleasure Dome. This is Two Tribes. Are we living in a land where sex and horror are the new gods? Two Tribes, great song. One of Frankie's more energetic songs, has that awesome pulsating bass line. That's the real backbone of the song. And it's about the Cold War. No big shocker there. When two tribes go to war, a point is all that you can score. There's an entire verse about Reagan. Cowboy number one, a born-again poor man's son, On the Air America, I Modeled Shirts by Van Heusen. That's literally what Reagan did before he became president. Of course, there's the air attack warning at the start with the siren, because it's the Cold War and nukes and all that. And what's cool is it has the Western funk, new wave, high-energy music. And it also has that Russian classical music in there, too. So it's the blending of the two worlds, the two tribes in the song. And it's a real hot tune, Fred.
Yeah, there was one year where Frankie Goes to Hollywood was, I think, basically the biggest music act in the UK. And it was this album with Two Tribes and, of course, Relax. And with some great marketing over there. But also, like, the music really backed it up. And this is one of the great songs off that album. And it's really, I mean, it's a classic from that time period. It's a smart pop hit, which is relatively rare to find, you know, given a little more than just, you know, it's kind of fun dance music or whatever. And this is one of my favorites from that era.
Yeah, Frankie, during that time period, they were hotter than hot, as you said. I mean, this was number one for 9 weeks in the UK, which is a record for the 80s. Relax was number two at the same time, which hadn't happened since the Beatles.
Yeah.
And the next single, The Power of Love, also went to number one. And then the band would break up a few years later. Like, they wouldn't even make it to the next decade. So, Frankie, they burned as bright as you can, and then the flame went out, Fred.
Yeah. Just a really very interesting kind of sad story, just in terms of, like, the history of, you know, the band, the history of music.
Mm-hmm. All right, Fred, what's number three for you?
Three for me is Three Dimes Down by the Drive-By Truckers.
Slice of the
So the drive-by truckers are one of the great, I would argue, basically the greatest southern rock band of the past 25 years. And this is off their album Brighter Than Creation's Dark, which is one of their many fantastic albums. And just about how you, well, in part, how you need a quarter for the condom machine. You've only got three dimes.
Yeah, some of your picks I'm well aware of and I've heard a million times. Some of them I'm not. And this is the case of the latter, because I don't listen to drive-by truckers. So I was coming in fresh here. And I was hooting and hollering to this one, because there aren't that many lyrics, but what there are really paint a colorful picture of a guy, yeah, trying to buy a condom at one of those dispensers. He's got three dimes, but the machine only takes quarters. He's got two lovely ladies in the backseat of his car, one out the window and the other on the other end, one belt loop away from Sunday night's news. So she's holding her friend by the belt loop while the friend pukes out the window and the car is going. And then there's the line, while chicken wing puke eats the candy apple red off his Corvette. So yeah, a real classy affair here. And I was just tickled pink by it, Fred.
Yeah, it's like I think oh, I can't, I'm blanking. Jason Isbell used to be in this band and then he broke off to do his own thing. But the main vocalist, songwriter for the Drive-By Truckers, whose name I'm blanking on terribly right
Mike
now.
Mike Cooley.
Yes, Mike Cooley is a bit of a gutter poet, I guess is how you could put it. And it, I mean, I think that he does really smart lyrics and often about that kind of stuff, about just like the dumbest shit. And I love that about them. I think they're just you know, kind of fantastic in that sense. Patterson Hood as well is another lead songwriter for them, and very much the same kind of vibe.
Yeah, on their website, Patterson Hood goes song by song on the album, and he says this about Three Dimes Down. Three Dimes Down is a Cooley song, and he never really discusses any of his lyrics with me or anyone else, so I'm not going to do him the disservice of doing so myself. Except to say Tom T. Hall's Week in a Country Jail, which is referenced in the song, is certainly worth checking out for a clue. He played me a four-track demo he recorded of it one night while we were all working on the Betty Levette album, and I doubled over in laughter. The second verse may be my all-time favorite on a Drive-By Truckers album. So yeah, there you go. High praise from one of the members, Fred.
Yeah, it's a funny song, and it's also like the guitar work on it is fantastic as well. Like, I'd be remiss to not put that over. It's a great guitar band. They have really great guitar work up and down their discography, and this is a great example of it. So if you like that, you definitely need to dig more into their stuff.
Mm-hmm. All right, my number three pick. This is a lady named Jenny Lewis, formerly of Rilo Kiley. This is from her solo album The Voyager, and the song is called Aloha and the Three Johns.
And if there's no ring, I will have to say goodbye. Now I'm just playing John, I look terrible in white. You better hide the weed, cause the maid is at the door. And I can see a John getting a job on the balcony below. Is this the beginning of expectation? Or is this the end of our vacation? This is the
I think I found the plot for the next season of The White Lotus. it's the Hawaiian vacation that they don't show you in the commercials. I'm going to get mean if you don't stop singing that Hawaiian song. How can you hear me scream if you still got your headphones on? Smashing a TV because you read it in Slash's bio. Hiding weed from the maid. And, oh yeah, there's a guy getting a handjob in the balcony below. Is this the end? Is this the end? It's not great vibes, but the music is so delightful, and Jenny Lewis's voice is so sing-songy and floaty. Is this the end? And upbeat. It makes for a fun contrast, Fred.
Yeah, and I love, I really need to dig more into her later discography. I'm most familiar with her from Rabbit for Co., which is kind of the all-country album she did with the Watson Twins. But even off of that, like, her songwriting is just really smart and sarcastic, and I love that about her. And this is another great example of it. Like, just very biting lyrics over very smooth rock, I guess. Like, I don't know, like, I feel like that's a bad way to describe it, but it kind of is also. I don't know. And I don't really like the song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she has a lot of good stuff, whether solo or with Rilo Kiley, or with the Postal Service, because she did vocals with them when they were around. But she's primarily focused on her solo career since Rilo Kiley broke up a little over a decade ago at this point. But they actually reunited last year for a tour. I don't think we're getting any new music from them, but never say never with that stuff, Fred.
Yeah, it always can surprise you when they decide just to pop one out real quick like that.
Mm-hmm. All right, Fred, we are on to number four. What you got?
All right, my number four is a classic. It's I Would Die for You by Prince and the Revolution. Not exactly going deep into the discography to pull that one out for him, but it's, you know, it's great. I mean, Prince is one of the best musicians ever, and it's a great example of just that kind of Minneapolis funk that he performed all the time, and just the kind of great songwriting he had. And also, you get a little, you know, just in that clip, you get a little bit of the sample of just why he's considered one of the best guitarists of all time. So just up and down, just a fantastic song.
Yeah, God bless Prince and his weird naming conventions for his songs.
Let me cheat that in there.
Exactly, yeah. You know, I'll be honest, as great as Purple Rain and Let's Go Crazy and When Doves Cry are, I think this is my favorite song on the album. And, you know, I'm sure the overexposure of those other three songs plays a part in that. But I love the song. It's very synth-heavy, and I especially love Prince's delivery of the line, "Darling, if you want me to, you."
Yeah, that's great. He had great vocalist instincts, so that's a good example of that, I think.
Mm-hmm. And if you're not paying attention and you're just vibing out to the music, you might not realize just how religious the song is. I'm not your lover. I'm not your friend. I am something that you'll never comprehend. No need to worry. No need to cry. I'm your Messiah, and you're the reason why. You're just a sinner, I am told. Be your fire when you're cold. I'm not a human, I'm a dove. I'm your conscience, I am love. All I really need is to know that you believe. Like, it's a total synth-pop Jesus song here, Fred.
Yeah, this is actually good Christian rock. Just no one realized it. know? Yeah, like, you know, of course, some people may not know this. I figure it's kind of famous, but Prince was a very devoted Jehovah's Witness and would actually go around and proselytize, like do the door-to-door stuff that Jehovah's Witnesses are supposed to do, and would do that in Minneapolis, I believe. And I can only imagine just like, you know, it's a Saturday afternoon, you're trying to get yard work done or something, and like Prince walks up and is like, you want to talk about God? And you're like, what's going on right now?
Honey, the purple one's on our front porch. What's going on here?
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, you know, for all of his sensuality and all the outfits and the symbol and all that, he was, yeah, a very religious person, you know, said some unkind things about gay people and gay marriage later in life, which is a real bummer.
Yeah.
And a bit odd. I mean, you would think a guy who dressed the way he did would be a bit more accepting. And in this song, there is a gender fluid aspect. Mm-hmm. I'm not a woman. I'm not a man. I am something that you'll never understand. There is that in there, but yeah, a real complex guy, that prince. A real enigma, Fred.
Yeah, fascinating person. Fascinating isn't always good, though. You know?
That's for sure. That's for sure, yeah. All right, my number four pick. This is Arctic Monkeys from their album Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino. This is a song with two numbers in it, actually. 4 out of 5.
Advertising imaginative ways. Start your free trial today. Come on in the waters. Lovely look. You could meet someone you like. You're in the meat of your strike. It is that easy. Lunar surface on a Saturday night. Dressed up in silver and white. With colored old gray whistle test lights. Take it easy for a little while. Come and stay with us. It's such an easy flight. You new places keep on popping up since the Exodus. It's all getting gentrified. I put a taqueria on the roof. It was well reviewed. 4 stars out of 5. And that's unheard of.
So the album before this, AM, was this big success critically and commercially. So naturally, the follow-up is a concept album about a resort on the moon, done in a 60s, 70s, spacey lounge pop style. Makes perfect sense there, Fred, you know?
Just and, like we drew it up.
Yeah, yeah. And 4 out of 5 is an advertisement for the resort. Take it easy for a little while. Come and stay with us. It's such an easy flight. Cute new places keep on popping up around Clavius. It's all getting gentrified. And the rooftop taqueria has got rave reviews, 4 stars out of 5. So yeah, it's quite slunky and alluring, a bit sleazy too. So, you know, much like an advertisement can be, Fred.
Yeah, I'm a big Arctic Monkeys fan. I really need to dig into their last two albums. I haven't yet, but what I've heard of them, it's smart rock, very kind of tongue-in-cheek, I guess. And I think this is a great example of just kind of their, you know, what they are capable of. It's a little bit out of left field if you're more familiar with their earlier stuff, like, you know, whatever people say I am, that's what I'm not. But I think it's a very good song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I played a song from AM last year, and I think I talked about how that's like the perfect sweet spot for me with Arctic Monkeys and their sound. And I'm not really a big fan of this style for them, both on this album and the next one, The Car. Not my cup of tea, but I do like the song a lot. So it's the outlier compared to the rest of it, I guess, Fred.
Yeah, that AM album has a bunch of classics on it, I think, but I am definitely far less familiar with what was on Tranquility Base Hotel.
Mm-hmm. All right, Fred, we are on to number 5. What you got for us?
Number 5 for me is 2 plus 2 equals 5 by Radiohead.
I lay down the tracks, sandbagging hard. January has April showers and two.
Definitely having a bad time with that song. it's off Hail to the Thief, which I'm committing the dangerous sin of committing Radiohead or discussing Radiohead on the internet, but I think that's probably their last, in my mind, truly like top shelf album. I like the later stuff like In Rainbows and King of Limbs and Moonshaped Pool pretty well, but I just don't think that they have quite the continuous quality, I guess, as Hail to the Thief in the previous albums. And I think this is how Hail to the Thief kicks off, and it's a kind of a big repudiation of, you know, what's going on politically at that time with the rise of George W. Bush and that style of conservatism. And fortunately, everything's been fine ever since.
Yeah, it's a song about Terrence Howard math. Or 1984 by George Orwell. Either or.
What or the other?
Yeah, you picked a rather timely tune here, Fred. A song about people being lied to and fed false information, and they don't question it, they don't do anything about it, they just go along with it. Are you such a dreamer to put the world to rights? I'll stay home forever, where 2 and 2 always makes a 5. And even if you do realize something is wrong and want to change it, it doesn't matter, because it's the devil's way now. There is no way out. You can scream and you can shout. It is too late now, because you have not been paying attention. Now, as you said, that song was put out in a time of George W. Bush's presidency and the War on Terror, 2003, you know, that whole era. And now it's 2026, and we have another war going on in the Middle East. Our government is still lying to us about stuff, a lot of stuff, and things are going bad, and there's no way out because it's too late now. So, yeah, thanks for picking a real happy tune here, Fred.
I'm glad to bring the mood up. I'm basically the meme of Trent Reznor asking if everybody wants to have a good time and warning them, no, that's the last band. We're going to have a real bad time.
Yeah, real chipper stuff going on here. I'm reminded of how Jay and Rich at Red Letter Media did a ranking of John Carpenter movies a few years ago. And they were talking about They Live. And Jay brought up how people always say about movies with some sort of political or social message, oh, it's more relevant now than it was back then. And his whole thing was, no, it's not more relevant now. It's just as relevant because nothing ever changes.
Pretty much.
People with power will always take advantage of people without power. And that line of thinking applies to this song as well. You know, the song isn't more relevant now. It's always been relevant. You know, the game is still the same. The only thing that's changed are the pieces on the board, Fred.
Pretty much, yeah. Well, I'm glad I could pep things up a little bit.
It's okay. Let's move on now to my next pick here, my number 5. And this is a rare jazz song on the program. Picked by me, no less, so it's extra rare. This is the Dave Brubeck Quartet from their album Time Out in 1959. This is Take 5. So one of the genres on Wikipedia for this is cool jazz, which may be redundant to some jazz fans out there, but it does sound cool. I mean, the intro with the drum and the piano sets like a really cool walking pace and tone. Then the alto sax comes in. Got a drum solo in the middle there. It's not too slow. It's not too frantic. It's in a unique time signature, 5-4, hence the name Take 5. It's just the perfect conditions and construction to make it an iconic piece of music. And I'm not a jazz guy, really. I like smooth jazz to listen to while I'm reading books, but I'm not a classic jazz guy. But for this song, I'll always make an exception because, yeah, it's just iconic, Fred.
Yeah, it's one of the great jazz songs of all time. Very unique in that it's written in 5-4, hence Take 5, which I think was actually... For the drummer, I think the drummer tended to play in 5-4, and he was like, hey, Dave, why don't you write something that I can show off with? And that's why they did it. I think if you like this, the whole Time Out album by Dave Brubeck that this is off of, I'd also recommend Miles Davis's Birth of the Cool. Later, Davis will get into like hard bop and that kind of jazz that is very different from this, much more experimental. But if you're more into this kind of style, that's a great album to experiment with.
Mm-hmm. And Take Five, it's not just, you know, really cool song. It's also the biggest selling jazz single of all time. So it did well commercially, too. And it's a song I've heard in so many TV shows and movies over the years. I remember it's in Twin Peaks, The Return, when Dale Cooper as Dougie Jones is trying to eat breakfast and he has the tie on his head and he takes this big sip of hot coffee and he immediately spits it out because it's Dougie Jones and he's simple like that. But that's just one example of many. It's a very omnipresent song, Fred.
Yeah, very transcendent.
All right, number six. Fred, what's your pick?
My selection here, I actually had two and needed to correct that on my list. But no, my selection is 638. That's the Number to Play by Rufus Thomas.
I woke up early this morning. I didn't have a 10 cents.
So Rufus Thomas was a best known for like R&B kind of Southern soul kind of stuff from the 60s and 70s. But he actually started performing in 1936 as a tap dancer and comedian and just had a really varied career for a while. Like he kept touring as a musician into the 90s and was labeled the world's oldest teenager. Which very interesting, but he has a good number of very solid soul songs like this one that if that's your style of music, you should definitely check out.
Yeah, just a fun, funky little number, which I really appreciate from you, Fred, because after that Radiohead song, I think we all needed a pick-me-up right there. And it's a very helpful song, too, because Rufus gets the inside track. He gets the inside line about the dog races and which dog to bet on. And he's practically begging us to get in on this thing.
Yeah.
I believe in Joe, down by the candy store. You would too, good people, if you know just what I know. 638 is the number today. 638 is the number you better play. He's telling us, play the number. So, you know, he's spreading the wealth, that Rufus, Fred.
A generous man.
Yeah. And as you said there, older guy. You know, much older than I thought he was in his heyday, because his first big hit was in 1963 with Walkin' the Dog, which Aerosmith would later cover.
Yeah.
And he was like 46 when that song came out. So he was no spring chicken. But he did have a song called Do the Funky Chicken, mm-hmm. and Do the Funky Penguin, The Funky Robot, Funky Bird, Funky Mississippi. A whole lot of funky stuff going on there, Fred.
There was that great period of time, and that was actually a decade later than I would have expected, but there was that period of time in the early 60s where if you had a dance number, you would then immediately be like, oh shit, I gotta cash in on this. There's more funky stuff, guys. Get back to the studio. What's down? Robot, let's go.
Chubby Checker doing Let's Twist Again. You know, let's sell some records, yes. Boys. Come on.
Keep twisting, guys. We all like the twist, right? Please keep paying me. But yeah, like the bit of Rufus Thomas I have dug into, like it's just a really unique talent, great story, and just a great, I mean, just some really solid songs in there.
All right, my number six, a hard left turn from what we just played there, because this is a band called Sneaker Pimps. This is from their 1996 album Becoming X, and the song is Six Underground, Nellie Hooper edit. trip hop and female vocals. Name a better duo. I'll wait. I remember the first time I heard this song, it was on Sirius XM, and I was just captivated by it. The music, the vocals from Kelly Ali, the drifty, lost in a haze vibes, which match up with the lyrics, which are about being stuck in a small town. The whole thing is magnificent, and this is a case where the remix is the big hit. This is the version that everyone knows. Nelly Hooper, the producer, is actually the one who put in the A-1-2 sample from De La Soul. So, Sneaker Pimps, this is their only hit in the States. They have a couple more in the UK, but it's a song that has endured for me and a lot of other people, Fred.
Yeah, it's this is was a very prevalent style of music, I think, in the 90s, more than one would think, I think, at first glance. And I wasn't aware that this version was not like the main version, because this is from the music video and this is the one that you hear on the radio. And when I saw your note that it was the Nelly Hooper remix, I was like, well, OK, how's this different? And then I listened to it. I'm like, oh, it's just the main song to me. And but yeah, it was definitely the style of music that it's not Placebo, although I think Placebo did a little bit like this.
Portishead,
thank you. Yeah, the P got me stuck there. Yeah, it's very Portishead-ish, and I mean, nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. Definitely not doing like a rip-off thing or anything, but like, it is, for a little bit, this was on my I'm not sure if I like or hate this song list. And I did end up on deciding, I think I actually do like it, but like, it was there with like Lynn Steal My Sunshine, and OMC's How Bizarre from that same general time period that I was like, I'm not sure how I feel about this before I eventually like came to terms with where I fell down on it, I guess. But
embrace the 90s, Fred. Embrace it. You know you want to. Come on. But by the album Becoming X, it's the only album with Kelly Ali's vocals on it. Chris Corner, one of the founding members, was singing on the demos. And the band decided it was better with a female vocalist, so they got Kelly. And then after the tour, Kelly went on vacation, and the band was making the new album, and Corner and the other guy, Liam Howe, decided that they didn't want to be pigeonholed as the female vocal trip-hop band, so they fired her.
Cool. How'd that work out?
Well, the label dropped them, and they've never been able to recapture that success. So yeah, maybe not the best move, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to make what you want to make, I get that. But at the same time, like, I don't know, maybe keep the successful vocalist. That's just me.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Fred, lucky number 7. What you got for us?
I got Threes and Sevens by Queens of the Stone Age. I think one of the better songs by Queens of the Stone Age, which really had a nice run there in the aughts. I really like the tempo changes on this. Now, they don't actually change like time signature or anything. It doesn't get that complex, but every verse and chorus, seemingly, they shift it up a little bit, or bounce back and forth, I guess would be a better way to put it. And I appreciate that about it.
Yeah, this song rips. I don't know how they make that guitar noise.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's so recognizable. I can never mistake this song for anything else because of that guitar tone there. But yeah, great song. I've always wondered, though, about the title, because for the longest time, I had no idea what threes and sevens means, because those numbers aren't in the song. It's not the time signature, so what the hell does it mean? And as it turns out, someone on Reddit asked the same question, and somebody said it's a bad hand of poker. You got threes and sevens, and since the song is about lying, it's about bluffing your way through a bad hand.
Oh, okay.
And
All right. But,
yeah, okay. And at the end, there's the line, "No one's catching on, calling my bluff," which makes as much sense to me, I guess, Fred.
Yeah, that works for me. Nice analogy there, I reckon. I don't think they're like the smartest band ever by any stretch. Like, I Drive By Truckers, I would say, you know, it's, if you're looking for like something a little smarter songwriting, like Drive By Truckers, Ben Folds, Jenny Lewis, that we've talked about already. But they rock a hell of a lot, and they do have some smart lines. It's not like it's not outright dumb rock, you know. I'm not, you know, but you know, it's not exactly like the finest points of, you know, we're not talking like Leonard Cohen or even Harvey Danger with their non-Flagpole Citizens songs.
Mm-hmm. And if nothing else, we still have that guitar tone. We still have that, Fred. So there is, you know, that. So
if you just want a band that rocks, I mean, you're going to do a lot worse than just going with Queens of the Stone Age.
Definitely. So, all right, my seven pick, as I do my best Tony Schiavone here, it's Sting! Lord. I love The Police. You know, I don't really know all that much about Sting's solo career, but he does have one of my favorite albums, his album 10 Summoner's Tales from 93, and this is the song 7 Days.
Ask if I am mouse or man, the mirror squeaked away I ran, he'll murder me in time for his tea. Does it bother me at all? My rival is Neanderthal. It makes me think, perhaps I need a drink. IQ is no problem here, we won't be playing Scrabble for her hand. I feel I need that beer. Monday, I couldn't wait till Tuesday.
So the story of the song is about a guy being given 7 days to make a move on a girl, and he's all nervous about when to ask her. Monday, I could wait till Tuesday, Wednesday's on my mind, etc., etc. But then there's another problem, because another suitor comes into the picture, and he's Bluto. He's a big boy. The fact he's over 6'10" might instill fear in other men, but not in me, the mighty flea. Ask if I am mouse or man, the mirror squeaked, away I ran. He'll murder me in time for his tea. So there's this multifold dilemma going on here. And as well, it's an odd time signature, 5/8. So, you know, I wouldn't call it a comedy song, but it is a bit cute given its story and the way it's made. Fred?
Yeah, you know, Sting always does at least very interesting music, if not exactly music that you like, I feel like. And I think this is a good example of that. Just very sparse instrumentation on it, I think, really works well for it. And you know, I think some smart lines in here too. So if that's kind of your bulwark for music, it's a good one for you.
Mm-hmm. And the ending directly quotes, "Every little thing she does is magic. Do I have to tell a story of 1,000 rainy days since we first met? It's a big enough umbrella, but it's always me that ends up getting wet." And that's another song about a guy who is love-struck and anxious about telling the girl how he feels. So it's a nice little callback there, Fred.
Yeah, it's always cute when an artist does that.
All right, up next we have number 8. Fred, what is your pick?
Going back to Southern Rock, we're going with 8-Piece Box by Southern Culture on the Skids.
Get a grin. Whoa, no,
You know, I was talking earlier about smart songwriting and, you know, clever wordplay and stuff like that. Sometimes you need music that's just dumb. And this is a great dumb band. I mean, they're gleefully dumb. They're a little smart in how they're dumb. But, I mean, they aren't trying to exactly dig out, like, in-depth similes and metaphors and so on. They're just like, yeah, box, you know, fried chicken. Definitely doing a sex analogy here, too.
Yeah, we're definitely following in the long story tradition of songs that are about food, but they're really about sex. You know, Peaches by the Stranglers, Cherry Pie by Warrant, Ice Cream Man by Van Halen, and so on and so forth. And given this is a Southern band, fried chicken seems quite appropriate. Well, she laid it on the table and gave me a grin, opened it up and said, "Dig on in." I started on a thigh, and then I got me a breast. My mouth got so full, I had to save the rest. I gotta fan myself here. I got the vapors. My goodness. And, you know, even just the term box is itself heavy sexual innuendo there. So, yeah, a very horny, crispy, juicy song, Fred.
Yeah, this is kind of a through line in what I've heard of their discography. Just very much kind of this, you know, very barely veiled, I can't even say thinly veiled, barely veiled writing. And I mean, it's, you know, gleeful and just what it is. It's got that great kind of Southern rock guitar line. Just, I like, there's two versions. There's one that's a little faster, but I like this one, just kind of how kind of almost languid it is, I guess. And just how, just, it's just really just the slow developing guitar line underneath and everything. And I actually learned about this song because of a Weird Al Yankovic song, or learned of this band, I should say, because he did, there's this song he did a couple years ago called Lame Claim to Fame. And it was killing me. I was like, I don't know what this is based off of. It doesn't strike me as any particular songs parody. And it was specifically, he was just like, all right, now we're going to do 20 years after their peak, or 30 almost, just a homage to the how Southern culture on the skids sounds, which is delightfully bizarre, led me to finding a fun band.
Well, that's great. Good on Weird Al for helping you out there, for sure. And the re-recorded version that you mentioned on the album Dirt Track Date, that was their major label debut on Geffen, so they redid some of their songs for that. And yeah, that version, it is a little faster, a little bit zippier, but this one I think works better because just it feels greasier. You know, it feels more appropriate for the story, Fred.
Yeah, it's just really sleazy, and I think it works better that way.
Mm-hmm. All right, my number 8. This is another band that starts with the letter S. This is Styx from 1978. This is Pieces of Eight.
We now have everything, or so people say. But now this emptiness haunts me every day. We seek the lion's share, never knowing why. Come alive, spread your wings and fly. This is a maze, the search for humanity. Go cast your freedoms in for gold. This is a maze, can buy you everything. Don't let it turn your heart to stone.
So the last episode was the Money Marks episode, and this song would have fit right in. A Piece of Eight is the original name for the Spanish dollar. And the song is about a guy working hard for the money, toiling away, and he doesn't really appreciate the world and what it has to offer. I hurry through my life, never stopping to see how beautiful it was meant to be. I'm just a prisoner in a king's disguise, broken dreams as we shuffle by. And the ultimate message is, pieces of eight can't buy you everything. Don't let it turn your heart to stone. So yeah, you know, it's a common message. Money isn't everything, but done in that theatrically bombastic style of a Styx song, especially one written and sung by Dennis DeYoung. That's very much his flavor, Fred.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Styx guy just because I'm not super into that style of like maximalist, almost Broadway rock, I guess. But this was a very solid one, and I liked your summary of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I fully acknowledge that Styx can be quite cheesy, especially Dennis DeYoung, but I unironically enjoy them. I can't help it. And this album is right in that golden run for the band, late 70s, early 80s, where it's The Grand Illusion, Pieces of Eight, Cornerstone, and Paradise Theater. Just a great run of albums. And then they do Kilroy Was Here with Mr. Roboto, and I do actually like that song too, but that's when things went a little too far with it, Fred. I will admit that.
Yeah, some of their earlier stuff I'm all right with, but they lost me with Mr. Roboto, I gotta say.
Fair enough. All right, Fred, we are in the closing stretch here. What is your number 9 pick?
I got Driving on 9 by The Breeders. Kind of a turn of pace from The Breeders, which were mainly kind of adjacent to that grunge scene in the early to mid 90s. But I just love this. It's, you know, Yana told me I probably would have thought this was like an old 97 song with a female vocalist on it or something. But I just think it's lovely.
Yeah, as someone whose exposure to Kim Deal is primarily just through Pixies and the one Breeders song that I know, Cannonball, mm-hmm. I'm not used to her music being so gentle and wistful, and there's a violin in there too. My goodness, it's not what I'm used to at all, but I really enjoy it. It's great. That laid-back, driving-through-the-country atmosphere, and the video has footage of the band playing and driving around in a car and just hanging out, and I don't know what it is. I hate smoking. I never smoked cigarettes in my life. I never plan on doing it. But seeing Kim Deal with a cigarette in her mouth playing the guitar, for some reason, that has me leaning forward in my chair, Fred. I can't explain it.
Yeah, I mean, it's very, very kind of smooth country sound, I guess. Also calls to mind, like, Lucinda Williams. A few years later, she had a fantastic album called Car Wheels on a Gravel Road. And it would have fit right in on there. One of the best country albums ever, in my estimation. And yeah, but I think this came out on the same album as Cannonball, which is a hell of a contrast between the two songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Last Splash is the name of the album. I also didn't know that this song is a cover.
Not realize that.
Yeah, by a band called Ed's Redeeming Qualities, which is a great name. And Carrie Bradley, who played violin in that band, plays violin on this version of the song.
Oh,
so a little
there
connection.
You go. Nice. Right. I think it wasn't the first time I ever heard it, but the time that it kind of sunk into my head was when it was used in the end credits of an episode of Poker Face.
Yep, the race car episode, which is very appropriate there. All right, so my number nine, not that song, thankfully. This is some more prog rock royalty. It's Emerson, Lake, and Palmer off their album Brain Salad Surgery. This is Carnival 9, First Impression, Part 2.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside.
So I will admit it took way too long to make the connection between Carnival and Carnival. I was a little slow on that one. But Carnival 9, the whole thing is a half hour long. It's a big piece. So big it's split over two sides of the album. But First Impression Part 2 is the section that became the radio hit.
Yeah.
Because it has the clean intro and outro. But it's still an odd song. It's about a sideshow in a dystopian future with these weird attractions. Soon the gypsy queen, in a glaze of Vaseline, will perform on guillotine. What a scene, what a scene. Performing on a stool, we've a sight to make you drool. Seven virgins and a mule, keep it cool, keep it cool. And the music has this like raucous carnival rhythm and atmosphere with the keyboard sound. Greg Lake sounds very much like a carnival barker. Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Come and see the show! Come and see the show! And it ends in such a show-stopping way with the big drums. Bum, 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 bum. See the show! So it's quite over the top, but it's prog rock, baby. It's what we do, Fred. It's what we do.
Yeah, this is definitely in that big prog rock style. And I'm not a huge ELP guy, but I will say that this is like the song of theirs that, you know, overcomes my general kind of like eh when it comes to them. So probably the most accessible one they did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, look, say what you will about these guys, but Emerson, Lake, and Palmer were big. I mean, they sold a lot of albums and they weren't exactly the most radio friendly band around either. I mean, they had songs like Lucky Man and
yeah.
From the Beginning, but these guys were mixing hard rock with classical music influences. They were prog rock with a capital prog. And sadly, Keith Emerson and Greg Lake are no longer with us. It's just Carl Palmer left. But they made their mark, that's for sure, Fred.
Yeah.
All right, we are on now to the final number, number 10. Fred, what you got for us?
What a little shock here. I went with 10 Years Gone by Led Zeppelin.
As it was. Then again it will be. Though the course may change sometimes, rivers always reach the sea. Blind skies of fortune, each has separate ways.
I mean, I don't think I have to spend much time putting over Led Zeppelin, frankly, but it is a change of pace song for them. They're obviously more associated with the early days of hard rock, but I think this is just a beautiful kind of very, I mean, meandering sounds negative, but they make it work in a really good way, and I just love the kind of laid-back tone of it, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, you sniped this one from me. I had it all ready to go, and then you gave me your list, and I was like, Damn it, yes.
Sniper.
You stole it out from under me, goddammit. But I don't blame you. It's a fantastic song. It really is. I mean, Zeppelin, for as many great hits as they have a bunch of great deep cuts as well. And this is one of them. I mean, that main riff from Jimmy Page. And Plant's lyrics about having to choose between this woman and his music career and comparing it to being an eagle leaving the nest. And he's gotten bigger, he's seen all these things, but the memories of her are always there. Through the eyes and eyes sparkle, senses growing keen, taste your love along the way, see your feathers preen. Kind of makes me feel sometimes, didn't have to grow. We are eagles of one nest, the nest is in our soul. I'm never gonna leave you, 10 years gone. You know, it's beautiful stuff, Fred. Great song.
Yeah, it's a fantastic song, one of their best, and this was a I didn't expect this number to be so hard, frankly, but I thought it was one of the harder ones in the list to just, you know, like in terms of depth to choose from, which was surprising. But what did you go with after I ruined your pick?
Well, I went with Old Reliable for my number 10 pick. This is Rush from their album Hold Your Fire from 87, and this is Force 10.
Look out for the force without form. Look around, sight and sound. Look in, look out, look around.
So I've said before on the show, I'm a big fan of 80s Rush. I just love the sound of it. Adding in the keyboards there, it added another cool layer to the band's sound, even though Alex Lifeson's guitar did get downplayed a bit as a result. But there's a good blend here, a lot of rock energy mixed in with the glossy synths. And as well, this little cool thing, Force 10 is a reference to the Beaufort scale, mm-hmm. which measures the strengths of a storm. The verses are the parts where things are faster paced and more rocky, but the chorus is where it calms down, kind of like you're in the eye of the storm. So, nice little bit of production work going on there, Fred, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, nice touch. I like this song. I'm not the biggest Rush fan, but I'm also not against them by any stretch. I'm just like, yeah, Rush, they're pretty good. Yeah, I think this is a very solid Rush song. I enjoy the instrumentation on it. I like the songwriting is smart in it, and very, very good.
You're a big fan of smart songwriting, Fred, aren't you? It's come up a bunch here.
I am, I guess. I do like, I'm a guy that pays attention to vocals, and when, some work goes into the vocals, the lyrics, I always appreciate that, so.
Well, according to Neil Peart, the song is about urging people to not be afraid of failure, to express yourself, to experience life in whatever way you see fit. Be vain and smart, humble and dumb. Two tender hearts upon our sleeves, or skin as thick as thieves. But there's a line in it where he goes, we can move with savage grace to the rhythms of the night, cool and remote, like dancing girls in the heat of the beat and the lights. And apparently, that's a reference to the scant amount of girls at Rush concerts back in the day. The cool and remote girls dancing along to Tom Sawyer or Subdivisions or whatever. It's a funny line, Fred.
Yeah, it's funny to have that self-awareness, how this is Spinal Tap of them.
All right, well, that was the episode. Those were our picks. Fred, I'm afraid we did not beat the 10 count. We have been counted out, but champion's advantage. We did not lose our titles. So there is that, at least. It all works out there.
Good to hang on to it.
Yeah, but this was a lot of fun, man. As always, thank you so much for being here. This was great.
Hey, thanks for having me. I always enjoy doing the show. And if anyone listens to my picks and was like, oh, I actually like this music, I have a weekly radio show locally that you can stream online at medialex.us. It's called Marconi's Bad Dream. And for an hour each Thursday night, I just play music that I feel like playing. So last week, I bounced between Doechii, the Beta Band, Kate Bush, Sly and the Family Stone, Fiona Apple, and the White Stripes all on the same show. So if that's your deal, check it out.
All right. And any other plugs you want to give? Go right ahead.
There's the Good, the Bad, and the Hungry. We've been on a little break between the end of football season for Tyler's reporting of the wonderful Minnesota Vikings franchise that will never cause me pain ever in my life, and then just me being wrapped up in actual work. But we're going to come back after the Revolution pay-per-view we already alluded to earlier in the show, me and Andrew, and looking forward to talking about that show and what hopefully will be another banger of a pay-per-view from AEW.
Cool. So yeah, Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, that's where you can find this show, Fred's show, all the great shows on there, voicesofwrestling.com, previews, reviews, articles, things like that. Blue Sky at Music of the Mat and at Just Andrew on Blue Sky. If you want to leave a comment about this episode, share your picks, voicesofwrestling.com/discord. It's also where I post the Spotify playlist for each episode. And of course, make sure you subscribe to the show on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice, and leave a nice rating and review. All right, so the playout song, I figured we had the 10 count. The count is over. Makes sense, then, to go all the way back to zero. So let's hear The Fix with one of their best-known songs off of Reach the Beach. This is Saved by Zero. Thanks again, Fred.
Thanks for having me. Always fun.
Music of the Mat is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The songs used throughout this show are property of their respective copyright holders.
Hi, I'm Andrew Rich, and if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.
We have the tech to get food delivered in 15 minutes, but we all have horror stories about buying tickets. The Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Get amazing tickets in just a few taps. Fees are included, so what you see is what you pay. And the Game Time guarantee means authentic tickets at the best price every time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets to concerts, sports, comedy, and more with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply.